Well, good morning to you all. Yep, that's about what we're all going to sound like here in about the next couple weeks. Got a few people out with that right now. But you're here, and we're going to try to move forward in what God has for us. We are in the season of growing up in the Lord. We've chosen that as our January. We chose to take it, you as a congregation chose to take the challenge to grow up in Jesus, and those things were... being a part of that was being able to dress up and, you know, just get up, dress up, and show up to be where you need to be and be here when the church doors are open, be a part of those things, reading your Bible and all those things. And we asked God not to bring any visitors for 6 months, and we worked on ourselves. It's the hardest thing to do that. And we didn't ask for any baptisms, any salvations. And we re-met in the first Sunday night in June and passed the microphone on the Sunday night. It was just a few people, but you take what you got. And we went ahead and we heard some people testify on how they grew up, began to grow up in the Lord. And someone mentioned, said, "Hey, Pastor, I think it's time we move on to the second part of it." And the second part of it was pretty much the same part of it, except, you know, would ask God to bring visitors and ask God to bring people and start seeing some salvations and baptisms. And since then, we've seen 5 baptisms and there was a few salvations, and we've seen increase a little bit, and this little increase from time to time with finances, but increase in our numbers. And then we also made a change of moving our worship service from Sunday night to Wednesday night. So some of you haven't been there, but been here on Wednesday night. Wednesday night's really, I think it's, I like Wednesday nights a lot. It's a full worship service, and then Sunday nights we now have moved to men and women groups. And I'll tell you this, it isn't about going in and judging what you see, all those things. Listen, if you put the effort in where you go, you'll get more out of it, just the way it works. And also, part of my part in the challenge is that I was going to put more time into the staff and more time into future leaders of that sort, and I've done that. And one of those things is we do a quarterly leadership training, which is open to anybody. And we've done 3 of those this year, and we have another one set in December. So that'll be open up as well. So we'll be looking at some things of that sort as we continue to grow. So I just want to remind you that we are going to continue this growth in Christ here. And then in January, we'll have a time of fasting again. And I'm not sure what that's going to be, but we will have a time of fasting. And this is about what I want. It's not about what you want. It never has been in this church. It never has been in this church. There's been decisions that were made that I didn't like. There were decisions that we made that you didn't like. But I want to tell you, God has been faithful. God has been faithful. And that's what I want to talk about today, faith. You cannot be a Christian without faith in Christ. You can't. It's not going to work. As you grow in your walk with the Lord, and as your faith begins to grow, you got to have less confidence in yourself and more confidence in God. Faith is the peace that holds us in the times of storm. Who is our faith in? What is our faith, and who is our faith about? And you'll be going. And you know, some of you went through some storms by yourself, which means you didn't have others with you, but you went through them, and your faith was all that you had. And sometimes you felt like that rope of faith was about as thin as a thread, but it's still, when your faith is with God, it is stronger than anything else. And I want to share with you today what the Bible says faith is, and then we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 8. But faith is described in Hebrews chapter 11 as, now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. We don't see it, but we have faith in it. We have faith in the Lord. But the second verse says this. This is what was the ancients, or the patriarchs, were commended for. I hope today that you're commended by the Lord for your faith in Him, not in yourself, not in the church. Although the church is important, not in your pastor, but in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Everything else can be replaced except for Him. Buildings can be replaced, preachers can be replaced, but God cannot be replaced. So let's go ahead and open up your Bible over to Matthew chapter 8. We're going to be there for our time this morning. We're going to be there, and I want to share with you a few people that had some faith, and it was angled in some different ways, but the faith was still anchored in Christ. And so as we turn there, I want you to also think about the time when your faith began to turn on for the Lord. When you come to know Christ, and you begin to walk your life in your faith, but then you turn around, and something kind of wavered in you, and your faith is not maybe as strong as it used to be. See, the Christian today, your faith should be stronger than it was last week. It should be stronger than it was when you first became a Christian. Your faith should be stronger each day as you live life here on this earth, knowing that many of you are like me, that you live more years than the years you got left. And your faith needs to be anchored into something bigger than what this world can offer. And God has given His gift, Jesus Christ, that our faith may be anchored in Him. So as we turn over to Matthew chapter 8, we're going to read a couple. I'm not going to read everything and all the details through it. I just want to give you the glimpse of what it is so that we can look at faith in a little bit deeper and how we can use it in our life today. But in chapter 8, we see this. A man with leprosy came, in verse 2, came and knelt before Him, before Jesus, and said, "Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean." What he's coming up with his faith. He's just saying, "No." Now, we know there's something going on here that's not going on with us today. Jesus was walking physically with them. Now, many people believe that if I seen Jesus, I would believe. We'll get to that in a few. But a man with leprosy came, and he knelt before Him, and he said, "Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean." So here it is. He knows that his faith is. He knows the Lord can do it if the Lord wants to do it, if Christ wants to do it. And Jesus, he reached out of his hand, and he touched the man. He said, "I am willing." And he said, "Be clean." And immediately he was cured of his leprosy. So we see that his faith, in return for his faith in believing that Jesus can heal, if it is His will, we see that there was a healing here of this leprosy. You see, when you're in dire need and you're desperate, you have a tendency to want to run to Jesus. You'll want to run as the woman that was bleeding will rush through the crowds. People will do what they're going to do because they've already exhausted all their other resources. But they see something new and fresh, and they're hearing some good news that there is one that is walking through the communities and through the deserts and through the towns, and He is healing and He is doing some amazing things, and people want that before they miss it. We read just a little bit further that when He was in Capernaum, we see this in verse 6, a centurion came to Him. He said, "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and is in terrible suffering." Now I want to remind you that this is a centurion, this is a Roman, this is not a Jew, this is a Roman, this is somebody that they didn't associate with, this was the people that were keeping him in bondage pretty much, and yet he crosses the line and comes to Jesus, and he begins to share with Him that he has a servant at home that is deathly ill. And Jesus said, "I will go and heal him." Jesus says, I'll heal him, I'll do this thing. But the man turns it on and he says this. He says, "Lord, I do not deserve to have You come under my roof." He's acknowledging that even though I am a Roman soldier, I'm a centurion, I'm over many soldiers, I am pretty much a captain of 100 or so guys. Here it is. I don't even deserve You to come in my house. And anyway, it was under the Jews that they weren't even supposed to go into a Gentile's home. Jesus was going to go to his home. But he said, "Just say the word." The centurion said, "Just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, which with soldiers under me. And I will tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes, and I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." Now I want to remind you that he's saying this to his servant. He's not talking about a servant. He's not talking about a family member. He's talking about one of his servants. Many people wouldn't even go and pray and ask for prayer or anything for someone else. It's usually just about ourselves. Jesus said, when he heard this, he was astonished and said to the following. Now Jesus hears this and he turns and he speaks to his people and he says, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." We jump down a little bit. He says, then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it will be done just as you believe it would." And his servant was healed that very hour. We have two individuals seeking Jesus out for a miracle. We see Jesus answering both of those. But it also comes to a moment in chapter 8, it runs down here to when there was a storm. It says in verse 23, then he got into the boat with his disciples. Without warning, a storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. And the disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. And he replied, you have little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves and was completely calm. Those who should believe didn't believe. But those who weren't even a part of the disciples, and many times had more faith than the disciples. And the disciples didn't believe. And Jesus said, you have little faith, and I'm asking you today, it isn't about because you're a Christian, it is about, do you really have faith? Do you really have faith that God can do what he can do? I'm going to run down a few things because I believe we need to do that. Because here's one thing is this, I cannot live off of your testimony, you cannot live off my testimony, but although your testimony may spur me up and encourage me from time to time, and mine may do the same for you, we need to have fresh testimonies on a regular basis. But you cannot have a fresh testimony on a regular basis if you're not walking with Jesus. If you do not have a faith that is ignited with Christ. There are times in our lives when we need to have an awesome faith. And it needs to actually be every day. You see, we look at numbers too much. We look at words too much. But we do not look at the power of the Lord. The power of the Lord is amazing. We read these stories and we say, those are great stories. I can learn from them. But for me, I don't know if God can do those things for me. I will tell you, many of you maybe heard me, but I can tell you that I did CPR on a lady in 1989 on a young lady that was about 26, 27. Basically, it would be exactly what German likes, blonde hair, blue eyes, beautiful young lady. I'm sitting here about the same age. She's in a car wreck. I get down. I do this. I'm off duty, but I do this CPR on her. And her eyes are looking at mine, and I'm looking at her. She's not breathing. There's an older man there. I found out later he was a retired doctor. He's telling me that I need to, it's time to do CPR. So he puts his hands on her chest, and he begins to do what he needs to do. I put my lips on her lips, and I begin to breathe my breath into her lungs. Her lungs go up, and they go down. They go up, and they go down. And I'm praying. All of a sudden, I begin to say, Lord, if this woman doesn't know you, if this woman does not know you as her Lord and personal Savior, if she's not saved, I'm asking you, Lord, to give her life. And I begin to put more air in there until we just kept doing it over and over. And then she does something that is not, she ends up throwing up into my mouth. I know it sounds pretty gross, but that's what's happened. So she regurgitates. I'm just telling you how ugly it is. I spit it all out. It was one of the nastiest tastes I ever had in my mouth. I put my mouth back on her, and I keep breathing. I keep breathing breaths in there. And then the German police, the German ambulance pulls up, and they take over. They put the electric pieces on her, does those things, you know, whatever Billy calls those things. And then they put a white sheet over her and she died. She was dead. It was the day that my mother-in-law came into Germany, and Carla and them were sitting off to the side, and when she picks me up, I go to the car and I'm saying, listen, we live in this little village. We drove down and I said, Carla, just let me out of the car. I need a moment to myself. I couldn't get the taste out. I grabbed something back underneath the car seat. I don't care if it was 2 weeks old. I just drank it. I spit it out, and I walked all the way home. And I couldn't get, I still can't get her face. I know her face. About 1993, 1994, me and my family were driving in the kids, and I've got some of Brett's kids. Brett's got some of my kids, and they all start doing their little fussing thing, and we're going down to Georgia. Right before we get to Stone Mountain. Some of y'all know where Stone Mountain is. We needed to get gas. We pulled over anyway, and all of a sudden, SUV hits a little escort. Not a little escort, but it's one of them little mini vehicles. It was nasty. I run over there, and Brett was watching the kids. I run over there, and I think Carl and Don went over to the SUV driver, and I went to the car. I saw this young lady, about 26, 27. Brunette hair, brown eyes. I seen it all over again. Her head was back, teeth was busted out. Just head back, arm out the window, windshield's all busted out. I put my hand on her wrist. I couldn't feel a pulse. I put it on her chest. I couldn't feel a pulse. I said, here we go. And there's no way I can do CPR on this woman. And I grabbed her wrist and I began to pray for her. I said, Lord, here we are again. I'm going to ask you again. Lord, if this woman doesn't know you as her Lord and personal Savior, I'm going to ask that you give her life. I don't know her. Then somebody popped their head in there, and I stopped praying, and I was like, man, what is going on here? Somebody tried to wake her up, and I said, this woman's gone. He said, what were you doing? I said, I'm just praying over her. It was actually a lady at that time, and she said, won't you keep praying? And I said, I'll keep praying. So I put my hand back on her and began to pray for her again. Then somebody grabbed my shoulder, and I just kind of pulled. I didn't pay attention to it. Somebody else wanted in there. And all of a sudden, I felt this woman twitch her fingers up. And then I seen just come right back up. Just the whole life just back up. Her eyes opened up. Just life was given back to her. And then the next thing I know, a police officer came up there and just jerked me out of the way, jerked everybody out of the way. He said, get out of the way, get out of the way. It was all good. Of course, we were at a gas station. So I had all this blood because there was blood everywhere in that car. That steering wheel was up in her chest. I know it broke some ribs. I went to that bathroom and I looked in that mirror and I put my hands in that water and I couldn't get it off fast enough. And my problem was I wasn't thinking about this girl. I was thinking about that other one in 89. And I looked in the mirror and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why did this one live and that one didn't? He said it as plain as day. He said, when you asked me then, you wasn't living right. Your prayers had little effect. Oh, I heard him, but your prayers had little effect. You're now walking with me and you believe in me more than you ever have. But you're not just believing in me. You're living the life that I've called you to live. And I was reminded I learned a great lesson at that time. That it isn't just that you believe in Jesus Christ, you got to live for Jesus Christ. If you want your prayers answered, you have to live for Him. You just can't talk about Him. If you want your prayers answered and you want to be a mighty man or a mighty woman of God, you got to let God be more mightier than you. You got to believe that God can raise the dead. You got to believe that He can do all things. And even though that one lady didn't live, I want to tell you this, God would have done it. He told me He would have done it. If I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. Because the Bible says the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And you have to be. Not that you're going to be perfect, but you're trusting in the Lord. This man came with leprosy. And he says, you can do it if you want to, Lord. And the Lord does it because He knows. The man's faith was knowing that God can do it if it's His will. The second man said this, I believe that you can do it and you don't even have to come to my house. You don't even have to see the damage that's been done. All you got to do, Lord, is open your mouth and I'll walk away knowing it's already done. Yet the disciples turned around, those who've seen Him do everything, turned around and said, we're going to drown. We are going to drown. Listen, we may think we know so much about God's Word, but if we don't apply it to our life, it is as if we never even read it. We have to have a faith that exceeds our own faith in ourself. And that is hard to do. Because we all have faith in ourself. We all think that we can do it this and we can do that, and all we got to do is apply ourselves. Listen, there are some things you can't do even if you applied yourself. I'm not going to be one of those ones that says you can do everything, because you can't. God built you that you can't do everything, so that we need to rely on Him to do everything. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not I can do all things through myself who strengthens me, but it's got to be through Christ. And it's in those valleys, it's on those mountains and moving forward that you can see, that you're going to see Christ move in your life. There are testimonies after testimonies that I hope that you have, that we have here as a church, that we could praise the name of Jesus Christ for. That we can praise Jesus Christ for. Everybody goes through a storm. Don't think you're the only one that goes through a storm. Everyone has people in your life that you know that's going to come sick for a moment. Somebody in your family always seems like somebody has cancer, or somebody's on their deathbed, or somebody, as you get older, you see more and more family members falling away, going into death, and then passing away. And you'll see friends that begin to pass away. It's part of life. But to get through those moments, we need to have a faith that is beyond ourselves. That is a faith beyond the church, but it is a faith that is in Christ alone. The church cannot be there every time for you. As much as we want it to be, the church will not be there every time for you. It's supposed to be, but it's human. We're flawed. The church cannot be there every time for you, but Christ can. Christ can. You have visitors when you're in the hospital. People will come, people will go, but there was a moment where you're going to be in that hospital room by yourself, or you're with someone and then you got to leave. There are always going to be moments where they're going to be by themselves. But if they're believers in Christ, they're not by themselves. So Christ says He'll never leave you, forsake you, and that means anywhere and everywhere at all times. But our faith needs to be ignited. Quit thinking God can't work through your problems. Quit thinking that God's going to fix it overnight. God doesn't fix it overnight, but what He begins is the healing process. And we need to be patient in the healing process. And there is times when God does miracles. There is times when God does miracles. Was it that I was some special person in that car? No, I was just a believer in that car. God is the special one. God is the special one. God makes decisions that I don't always know why. And it's good that I don't always know why. You don't always need to know why. But He does. And we need to trust Him with that. We need to trust Him with that. And we see Jesus going through many, many more people that He begins to heal. And they saw Jesus. Yet they still yelled out, "Crucify Him." So it isn't about, like I said before, oh, I'll believe it when I see it. Many of those who saw the miracles saw Jesus Himself. Saw Jesus Himself, yet shouted out, "Crucify." Because I'm going to be honest with you, we're not always about what the situation is. We're always concerned about what's going on right now. We're always concerned about the moment. And God's about eternal. God's about all of it. But we want to be about the moment. I want to share a couple practical ways for you, because I hope that you today know that your faith needs to grow. My faith needs to grow. I'm not arrived. We'll never arrive until we get before the throne of God. But our faith needs to grow. And if you take notes, this is a time when you're going to grab them, because this is for you that need to know, that says, you know what? I want my faith to increase. I want my faith to increase, because there was something different at this time than there is right now. Jesus was walking on the world. He was walking on the earth, and He was doing these miracles, and these people saw Him, and they sought Him. Those who were of the Jews, and those who were of the Gentiles. They saw Him, and they ran to Him. And many people were part of those miracles, even from the feeding of the 4,000 and the 5,000. So today it is, as Jesus said with Thomas, "Blessed are those who believe who do not see." So today, that's what our faith is. We believe, yet we do not see, but we still believe. That's your faith. That's what we have to have as a Christian. We have to have faith. I'm going to give you seven pieces that I believe for myself, and when I read, helps me to increase my faith. besides going through that going through a certain situation or circumstance. So if you want to increase your faith, you're going to do some of these things. Number one, here's what you need to do. You need to pray more specifically and bigger. You need to pray more bigger and specifically. You need to know what you're praying for. Not those fast prayers, not those big kind of covers everything. We do that, but you need to be specific. So when God answers it, you know that He answered it, and you can testify about it and praise His name for it. And they need to be big. They need to be big. Big prayers, because we serve a big God. Quit thinking He's a little God. Quit thinking He's so far away and millions of miles away. No, He's right here. His Spirit dwells inside of us. We need to pray bigger and more specifically. That will help you increase your faith. And when you do that, you need to pray not just for yourself, but you need to pray for others. This was what was amazing about the centurion. This was not about some family member. This wasn't about for himself. This is about a servant that he had. Servants can be replaced. And this time, he's just getting another servant. But we need to pray not just for ourselves, but for others. But we need to pray specifically and bigger. Number two, we need to be faithful to the church. It is the bride of Christ. We need to be faithful to the church. We miss too much when we miss too much. Does that make sense? We miss too much when we miss too much. We miss too much of God when we miss too much of church. We ask God to show up, and He's saying, when you going to show up? If you want your faith to increase, we need to be faithful to the church. Number three. It may seem simple, but I'm going to add to it. It's called read the Word. But here it is. Read some of the books that you don't or haven't read. Read that Ezekiel book. Read the book of Isaiah. Chonk on some things that seem difficult for you, maybe in the book of Revelation. Chew on some of those books like Hosea that you haven't read. Jeremiah or Lamentations that you don't normally read, or Leviticus. Read some of those books, because there's so much of God all over it. And I tell you, it'll increase your faith. Chew on something fresh and new for you. It's not fresh and new in the Word. Just you need to pick it up and partake in it. So you need to read some of those books in the Bible that you haven't read or haven't read in a long time. Increase your faith. Number four, spend some time with some other believers outside the church. Spend some time with believers outside the church. Do something together. Most people are introverts, so it's always hard for somebody to call somebody. But you know what? Take a big step forward, because God loves it when His people get together in fellowship. Not just in the church, but outside the church. Take somebody to lunch once in a while. Or just say, hey, let's meet lunch and let's just go. However it is, do something with some other people. It'll help you grow in your faith, because you're going to share some things on your heart as you go, and they're going to share some things on your heart. But we get busy about the other things and we forget that we need to be about each other. Take a chance. All they can do is say no. And they might just say, yeah, I'll go. Some of you are lonely because you won't open your mouth. Take a chance. Don't tell me you're lonely. Look at the people in this room. Ask somebody to come to dinner. Ask somebody over to your house. You want to go out and say, hey, I don't got a lot, but hey, meet me at McDonald's. Trust somebody for a change. It'll increase your faith. Put a little step up. Put a little step in your walk. Number five, walk away from some of the junk in your life, which is the sin. Start walking away from, start saying no to some of that junk in your life. And you'll start leaving room for some of the good stuff that God has for you. Right? I want to increase my faith. It's not going to be more about the things of God, less about the things of the world. It's not going to remove some junk in my life. Number six, got to speak the truth. Man, we got to speak the truth. Now, some of you may be thinking, oh, is he talking about the Bible? I'm just talking about when you talk to somebody, just tell the truth. Just speak the truth. Don't lie. Don't just speak the truth. It's good for the heart. It's good for the soul. When you don't speak the truth, it just weighs you down. And if you want to increase your faith, you just got to speak truth. Be honest. Be an honest person. Have honesty in your character. Have some integrity. Just speak the truth. And number seven, the toughest one for last. Learn to fast. When we fast, we don't fast for nothing. When you fast, you're usually fasting for something. This is where your faith gets kind of tested. It's in fasting. You clear everything out. We all, I don't know, I love to eat. I confess that I like to eat. As I get older, I like to eat. And putting that aside, putting that food aside, you're asking God to come in and fill that void, that hunger that you have for food, and that you don't hunger for the food, because the body will scream out and groan when it's hungry. It makes noises. When the stomach is hungry, it makes noises. God does that too. The Holy Spirit makes noises. It groans. And we could be walking with the Lord, but yet the Spirit inside of us, we're starving ourselves because we're not being the person that God wants us to be. We're not putting God into our life. We're allowing, we're using His name, we're using that bloodline, we're using that I'm saved, we're using those things, but we're not really being anything else but doing those things. Listen, fasting will bring you closer to God if you do it with the right heart. Fasting will bring you to your knees. Fasting will let you see things that you cannot see, even sometimes physically. It'll let you see things that you cannot see physically before. Fasting will open up your heart and open up your spirit to allow God to do things in your life and to say things into you, speak into your life, than in no other time that happens. There's something that is very, very holy about fasting. And the thing is, are you serious enough about some of your prayer requests or something big in your life that you're saying, you know, I'm going to fast. I'm going to fast. I knew a man one time that he fasted. He did not have a relationship with his father. He didn't even know who his father was. And then he found out where his father was. But he didn't know, didn't want to make the connection. And he fasted every Monday for 5 years. 5 years. Every Monday he would fast for 5 years. And then one day, his father calls him, and they end up meeting together. And he testifies that it was because he was faithful for fasting for 5 years. You want it. It's reachable, but it takes some work. God is not a God that sits in a genie bottle that you rub it, that you think He's going to come out and give you your three wishes or your five wishes and answer all your prayers like the way that you want. There's more going on than you think. It's not always about what you need or what you like to see, but God uses it to make you better and stronger in it, but He's got to allow things to work into your life to get Him where for Him to get you where He wants you to be. And but we just want this one specifically thing fixed because we think life would be better with it. Or without it. And God's saying, I can use you and I can form you. I can do these things, but if I walk with you, I'm going to mold you. And we don't like God putting his hands on us because He has to mold us. Some of us need to learn how to apologize to one another. Some of us need to learn how to not just ask for forgiveness, but to repent, which means to turn away from those things. Some of us need to learn to pray for other people. But these are some things that can help us grow in our faith and increase our faith. Do you really believe that God can do anything? Do you believe that Jesus Christ can do all things, that He can do anything? Anything? It's in a crisis when you find out who you truly believe. It's in a crisis is when you find out who you really are in the Lord. Can you worship God in the good days? Yeah. But can you worship Him in the sad days, the brokenhearted days, the days of loss? And it's in those times that we want them to go away so fast, it's in those times where our faith increases. So be patient and allow God to do the work that He wants to do in your life. And you don't give up praying and you don't give up your faith. Faith is all that you have. The world can take everything away, but they can't take your faith. But you got to have faith in the first place. Don't let your faith be in Southern Baptist. Don't let your faith be in the church. Let your faith be in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. For it's He who died upon the cross for us. No one else and nothing else. But I do understand a lack of faith. Because we've all have had a lack of faith from time to time. We've all been in a place where we weren't sure if our faith was enough. But I want to tell you, it may not have been enough, but Jesus came by and walked right with you and gave you His part. That's what He does. So my question is, where's your faith? How is your faith? If you don't have a relationship with Christ, I want to tell you, your faith is in yourself and in the world. And the world will just kick you to the side. If you can't keep up with the world, it'll kick you to the side and you'll be forgotten. But you still have to stand before God and give an account. And that kind of faith doesn't work. That's not the key to heaven. That's not the key to the family of God. That's the key to the other place. So relationship with God starts off with I believe. I believe. I believe in Jesus. I don't understand Him all. I don't understand the whole story, but I do. I believe in Him, and I know that I'm a sinner. And I'll tell you, Jesus will take faith like that, and He'll work with it. But you got to accept Him and receive Him. But some of us as Christians have walked life as a Christian and come to places in the road where our faith got a little bit weary. Got a little bit low. I want to tell you, you can get that renewed. And you can get that refreshed and strengthened today. I'm not special. He's special. But I will tell you this, He loves every one of you more than you could ever love yourself. You have no bigger fan in this world than Jesus Christ Himself. He prayed in John 17, Lord, let them be as one with Me as I am with You. It's almost scary. He wanted to put us up there just with Him. Oh my gosh. It says He loves us. But He wants you to believe. He wants you to have faith. Is He saying to you, O ye of little faith, why you do not believe? I'm going to ask you a question today. Does your faith need to increase? Does it need to increase? I don't have the answer for you, but I think you know. And it's the Holy Spirit testifying inside yourself, telling you, yes, no, you need to increase a little bit, or whatever it may be. We're going to have a time of opportunity for you to come down and to pray about anything that you want. But if you need your faith ignited, I can't do that. But He can. If you need your faith to be increased, because you're saying there's something I really just don't know. And you're doubting. I want to tell you, we all have doubts from time to time. Even the greatest man, when Jesus said, the greatest man ever walked, the greatest man is John the Baptist. Yet he, when he was in prison, sent his disciples and asked Jesus, are you the one? Everyone has a moment or two of doubt. But praise God, he doesn't leave us when we do. He stays faithful even when we're not. But today you have an opportunity to ask God maybe to increase your faith. Or maybe grab it for the first time. So I'm going to stand over here today. And if you want, I'll pray with you and ask God to increase your faith. It isn't that I'm a special person, but if you walk and step out on faith, that is your faith. You are stepping out in faith in Christ, and I'll just share with you and I'll pray with you. But I will tell you this, you can't leave it just as that. You've got to walk away knowing, as the centurion, he walked away knowing that it was already done, because Jesus says, just as your faith is, it shall happen, and it happened. You've got to walk away knowing today, if you do that prayer, today, my faith is increased. Amen? Y'all glad you're here in the house of the Lord today? Yeah. We're not just about receiving, but it's also about doing something. Okay? So let's go ahead and stand and give you an opportunity. The altar is open for you.